they're working. And so we as believers, we need to recognize that when we're in conflict with a person, especially a non-believer, where their influence is coming from. That we're battling against those evil forces. And so the first one that we looked at last week was that we need to sign up. So to be a soldier of Christ, you need to sign up. In other words, you need to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Need to be part of the team. It's just like when you go down to the recruiting office and you sign up, right? To be a Marine or in the Army or the Air Force or the Navy or wherever it is, you have to sign up. And then there's some expectations once you sign up. And we're going to look at some of this as we move along through here. This morning we're looking at number two. There's seven steps, and this is number two in seven. It's show up. So once you sign up, then you have to show up. In other words, when they call roll, you better be there. If you're not there, they consider it AWOL. Not good. In Hebrews 10:19-25, talks about showing up. Hebrews 10:19-25, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, because we've signed up, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's what happens when we sign up. When we sign up, we're saved by faith. And the sin and all the crud that's in us is cleansed by the blood of Christ. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near, we have to show up. We have to be there. You show up to boot camp to get the training, to find out what it is that you need to know, how you need to fight the enemy. Acts 2, the first part of Acts 2 says, They were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. They showed up to get teaching, to get training. They had fellowship with one another. They broke bread with one another. They prayed with one another. They were together. Ephesians 4:11-12 says that God has given us apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints to do the work. It's not just the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and teachers. It's everybody. They're there to do the work. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We need to be together. You know, no Lone Ranger Christians. You know, if you've got, you know, somebody in the military and they're kind of a Lone Ranger, they're probably not going to last long. There's force in numbers. That we need to be accountable to the teachers, we need to be accountable to one another so that we can serve, so that we can be part of the team, which is the next one. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We're to serve one another. We're to help one another along. We're to be part of the team. If you don't show up, you can't be part of the team. If only half of the team shows up, you forfeit. Can't play the game. Or if you do play the game, you're probably not going to win. The whole team needs to be there. We need to be able to depend on one another. And our task is to build the kingdom of God. That's what God is expecting from us. We need to support a local congregation of believers with our presence, with our gifts, and our service. So there is the church universal, and we, believers in Christ, we are the church. There's the church universal all around the world. There's the church. But in every place, there's also the local church. So we here are part of a local church. And we need to be able to depend on one another. We need to be able to help one another so that we can build the kingdom of God. It's like going to boot camp. You're trained for eventual battle, right? I mean, that's what the training's about. Eventually, you're going to go toe-to-toe with somebody. And you need to be trained on how best to do that. We need to be all in. You know, I was never in the military, but my understanding is you go to boot camp, if you're not all in, you're not going to make it. You got to be all in or you're going to wash out. Matthew 13, starting in verse 44. Jesus is speaking here. It's a parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and he sells all that he has and buys the field. I just heard something on the radio about that this week. It's amazing how God works. So this thing about a treasure in a field, what would happen when an invading army would come in? People would take some of their stuff and they would go bury it in the field. Well, if they ended up being killed in the battle, so now here's the treasure in the field that nobody knows about. So that's the whole issue. When he said they found a treasure in a field, the people he's talking to, they immediately go, oh, yeah. You know, they didn't have one of those little beepers that they could walk around in. You know, they're out there plowing and, you know, they knock something up or they're out walking. But the thing is that you need to see here is this guy, he found the treasure, and the treasure was the kingdom of heaven. And what was he willing to do? Sell it all. Get rid of it all so that he could get the best. Jesus goes on to say in verse 45, he says again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. The kingdom of God, that's what Jesus is saying. This is how valuable the kingdom of God is. Are you willing to give everything up for it? And not be like the rich man that said, well, man, I've got so much stuff. How can I do that? You just start getting rid of it. Got to make that commitment. And then we need to be willing to serve one another, to care for one another. 1 Corinthians 12, 14. It says, for the body is one member, but many. So that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. So we as the body of Christ, we have all these different members of the body. They're all different parts and pieces, right? Toes and fingers and ears. And you have to have them all to make up the body. You can't just have part of them. Can we operate with missing pieces? We can. Can we be the most efficient and effective with missing pieces? Probably not. We really need each other. And we should be motivated by love. Just as God was motivated by love for us, Jesus was motivated by love for us to hang on that cross, we need to be motivated by love to care for one another. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. We need to love each other, giving preference. In other words, what it said in Philippians, considering others more important than yourself. Are we willing to do that as good soldiers of Christ? And then we need to make sure that we don't end up being on gone without leave, AWOL. We need to make sure that we're there, that we're putting in our time, that we're doing what we need to do. Jesus speaking in Luke, he's walking down the road. There are a lot of those conversations, you notice that in the Bible? Jesus is walking down the road and they're just having a conversation. It kind of goes back to Deuteronomy, where it says, you know, as you're walking along the road, as you're in the house, wherever you're at, you're talking about God. So they're walking down the road, and someone says to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, sometimes Jesus' answers are very interesting, kind of makes you think, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Huh? So what Jesus is saying here is, basically, you're willing to give it all up? He says, I have nothing. I don't have a home. Are you still willing to follow me? He goes on to say, he said to another person, follow me. But he said, well, Lord, let me go home first and bury my father. And Jesus' response to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Well, that sounds kind of harsh. Can't even go bury the dead. Well, Jesus is trying to make a point here. Are you willing to give it all up to follow me? And then another person says, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. Jesus' response to him is, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, keep your eyes focused ahead. Keep following Jesus. Don't be starting to look around going, looking at all the things you're leaving behind. Jesus is letting them know this is serious stuff. Because what's going to happen down the road? Persecution's coming. And Jesus knows this. And so he's making sure that those who are committing to him are committed. Because when the hard times come, are they then going to say, oh, well, no, I guess he wasn't right. You know, no one can ever say about Jesus, well, he never told me it was going to be like this. Oh, yeah, he did. What he didn't tell you was it's going to be a bed of roses. He never said that. But over and over and over again, he said, it's going to be hard. And this is what it's going to require. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father is in heaven, who is in heaven will enter. That's kind of a scary one. Well, but Lord, you know, we did these things in your name. Oh, but Lord, we called you Lord. And Jesus is saying, you weren't doing that for me. You didn't know me. We better make sure that we understand who Jesus is and what he expects of us. I think so many times in our culture, in too many churches, we have this consumer mentality. Well, what am I going to get out of it? Well, I went to church and I didn't get anything out of it today. Well, what'd you put into it? You know, did you come with a mindset of I'm listening for God? Well, that preacher, he didn't really have much good to say today. Well, don't be listening to the preacher, be listening to God. Because I can guarantee you there's not a whole lot good that I can have to say other than what comes out of God's Word. And that's what it needs to be. You know, are we where God wants us, or are we where we want us? You know, I've been in church a lot of years and in leadership positions for quite a while. And you kind of hear this same thing over and over. Well, you know, I'm just not getting anything. I'm not getting fed. Well, are you in church to get fed? Are you in church to serve? I mean, how long have you been a believer? The Bible says that we need to mature so that we can feed ourselves. And then I can come and serve. So many times they just use that for an excuse of not getting involved. Well, I'm going to go somewhere else because I'm just not getting fed. Really? Is God calling you somewhere else? I mean, that's the question I would ask. Hey, if God's calling you to some different place, different ministry, different church, whatever, praise God, go for it. But you need to make sure He's calling you to do that and that you're just not getting what you're looking for, that consumer mentality, making sure you're where God wants you and not where you want to be. So many times the ranks start getting reduced because it's on to the bigger, better, more flashy, I mean, whatever it is. And what happens to the ranks? They start getting smaller and smaller, and then what happens is the enemy gets a foothold, the ranks have been reduced, and the enemy overruns them. We are here. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to be here as a soldier of Jesus Christ. You need to be fighting for the kingdom. You need to be doing everything you can to build God's kingdom. And that doesn't mean build this church, but build the kingdom wherever you're at. And it doesn't matter where that person then decides to go to church, because that's between them and God. But are we loving our neighbors into heaven? Are we loving them like Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself? Are we building the kingdom? Are we working together? Are we serving one another? Are we caring for one another? Or are we more concerned with yourself and getting fed and having that consumer mentality? We're going to continue in this series looking at how we can be the best soldiers of Jesus Christ that we can be. The first one was sign up. The second one is show up. And the third one, oh, you're going to have to show up to find out. Find some way to get you back here. So, actually, next week, Andrea Fountain is going to be here. She was a missionary. It was Josiah Venture. She's taking a little bit different direction, and so she's going to come and give us an update on what God's been doing with her. And like Bill said, we just got information from from Kathy this week about that ministry is changing. It's not her ministry, but there's a different ministry that she's been involved in that's going to continue that type of ministry in Thailand. And so it's not like, you know, that ministry is just leaving and there's nothing there. That ministry will continue to go on. So, you know, those are, especially Kathy, because this is a fairly new thing for her, you know, be praying praying for her, that she knows what God wants her to do in these next steps. Andrea's got a pretty good direction of what God wants her to do next, and she's going to be sharing that with us next week also. All right, let's pray. Father God, help us to be soldiers of Christ. You know, there's a lot of things that soldiers do that aren't fun. It's tough. It's hard work. But we need to have that attitude, that mentality that, you know, we're gonna soldier on shoulder to shoulder with our brothers and sisters in Christ to build the kingdom of God here on earth. Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the kingdom and against the church. Now, that doesn't mean that persecution won't come. That doesn't mean that hard times won't come. But in the big picture, in the long range, evil will not prevail. And we need to know that. We can go into the battle knowing that we're victorious. And so help us to remember that. Help us to remember that you already know the outcome. You already have the victory. The enemy will not win. There will be different skirmishes and different little battles that he will seem to win. But in the overall scheme of things, he loses. And it is you who are the winner. And so, Father, help us. Help us to work together. Help us to work together. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, God bless you all. Have a great week.